Stotra, this is the Sri Shimara's Divine Grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Nama Charya Shlahadidas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sikaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhuna Chananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasati, Govara Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Go Gopinath, Shamakunda, Radha Kunda, Gidigavadan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Nabadeep Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamunamai Ki Jai, Talasi Devi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtana Ki Jai, Brihat Madanga Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Angaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 10, text 36. Savacha vacha kataya. Savacha vacha kataya. Bhagavan Brahma Rupa Drik. Bhagavan Brahma Rupa Drik. Nama Rupa Kriya Date. Nama Rupa Kriya Date. Sakarma karmaka pada, sakarma karmaka padaha. Sakarma karmaka padaha. Savacha vachakataya. Bhagavan Brahma Rupa Drik. Nama Rupa Kriya Date. Sakarma karmaka padaha. Others, please. Vaishnavis. sa he vachya by his forms and activities vakataya by his transcendental qualities and entourage bhagavan the personality of Godhead brahma absolute rupadrik by accepting visible forms nama name rupa form kriya pastimes date accepts sakarma engaged in work akaramakaha without being affected paraha transcendence Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He, the Personality of Godhead, manifests Himself in a transcendental form, being the subject of His transcendental name, quality, pastimes, entourage, and transcendental variegatedness. Although He is unaffected by all such activities, He appears to be so engaged. Purport. Whenever there is a need of material creation, the transcendental personality of Godhead accepts forms in the material world for creation, maintenance, and destruction. One should be intelligent enough to know his activities in truth and not be biased to conclude that he descends to the material world by accepting a form created by material nature. Any form accepted from the material nature has its affection for everything done in the Any form accepted from the material nature has its affection for everything done in the material world. A conditioned soul who accepts a material form for undergoing a certain term of material activities is subject to the laws of matter. But here in this verse, it is clearly stated that although the forms and activities of the Lord appear to be the same as those of a conditioned soul, they are supernatural and impossible for the conditioned soul. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always unaffected by such activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 14, the Lord says, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma pale spriha, itimam yo bhajanati, karmabir na sabhajate. The Lord is never affected by the activities which He apparently performs by His different incarnations and personalities, nor does He have any desire to achieve success by fruit of activities. The Lord is full by His different potencies of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, and thus He has no reason for physical exertion like the conditioned soul. Therefore, an intelligent person who can distinguish between the transcendental activities of the Lord and the activities of the conditioned souls is also not bound by the reactions of activities. The Lord as Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva conducts the three modes of material nature. From Vishnu is born Brahma, and from Brahma is born Shiva. Sometimes Brahma is a separated part of Vishnu, and sometimes Brahma is Vishnu himself. Thus, Brahma creates the different species of life all over the universe, which means that the Lord creates the whole manifestation either by Himself or through the agency of His authorized deputies. Omagana timarandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshur umilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. So, Krishna is difficult to understand, not just now for people in the present age, but even historically speaking, Krishna is difficult to understand. It's quite a challenge. In the Bhagavad Gita and the purport to the famous verse, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yoga Maya Samavrita Mudo Yam Nabhajanati Loko Yam Ajamavyam, which translates, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada says, when Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is when Krishna is present. In the assembly of the Kurus, when Sisupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, which is practically nobody, right? But for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. So it's very challenging. It's very difficult to understand Krishna. It says he was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure, but not to others. To the unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. Elsewhere, in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Avajananti mamudha manusim tanamashritam parambhavam ajanato mamabhuta maheshvaram. That he goes as far as to say, not that people don't understand him, but they deride him. Fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They think I'm an ordinary person, just like them. So the dictionary definition of the word deride is to express contempt for, ridicule. So that comes in many different forms. Like Sisupal, he was out and out criticizing Krishna. Another way you can deride somebody is you can ignore them. You don't show proper respect. If you don't show proper respect to somebody, that's also a way of deriding them. Like, for instance, say if Jai Pataka Maharaj were to arrive in New Dwarka. So, you know, he's very senior Prabhupada leader in the movement. We'd have to, couldn't just go, oh, yeah, Maharaj is here. You know, you have to do some special arrangements to honor that person. So, and if you don't do that, that's deriding that person. It's not showing proper respect. You know, to take that a step further, if you totally ignore somebody that deserves respect, that's also deriding that person. And Krishna will, if somebody wants to do that, when somebody wants to deride Krishna or forget Krishna, Krishna, he helps out with that. You know, in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham ridisane vishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam. From, I am seated in everyone's heart. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So when Krishna can understand that somebody wants to deride me, you know, not show proper respect, he helps out with that. And he allows that person to forget him. So when you want to ignore Krishna, Krishna helps by allowing you to become ignorant. You know, you actually go into a state of ignorance where even you try, you know, ignoring somebody is a conscious act. But when you're in ignorance, that's like you can't, even you try to get out of that, you're stuck. So that's what happens. So getting back to the original point that understanding Krishna is a challenge. As we just heard from this purport of the Bhagavad Gita, even when Krishna was present 5,000 years ago, only a handful of people understood him. You know, most people didn't understand him. What to speak of then, you know, even now, people who are aspiring or trying to be devotees of Krishna find it a challenge to understand Krishna. I just got finished reading the book Back to Vrindavan by Hari Sari, his most recent book, Srila Prabhupada's Final Pastimes. Very beautiful book. It shows how Prabhupada basically kept himself alive for X amount of time. So you could call it 6 months at least. He kept himself alive by his will, just to as a reciprocation of love with his disciples, out of affection and love for his disciples, he was keeping himself alive. You know, he himself on numerous occasions said, "My life is finished. This is just skin and bones." But he just to because the devotees were saying, "Prabhupada, we need you. We are not ready to do this without you. Please." And so Prabhupada, you know, just did what he had to do to stay alive and to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. So anyway, one of the things that, aside from that I got was I couldn't help but notice that so many of the devotees that had very close, intimate association with Prabhupada, you know, they also had a
difficulties in their devotional service. Some, fell down. Some have made comebacks. Some will have to go to their next lifetime to make a comeback, and et cetera. You know, so it was even people who are in the association of Prabhupada, you know, the pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, they found it challenging, right, to understand Krishna. It's not a cakewalk, right? What to speak of when being, you know, people who had close association with Prabhupada, even somebody who had close association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, found it difficult to be properly situated in devotional service. Kala Krishnadas is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as a simple and gentle Brahmin. Notice, he wasn't just some goofball. He was a Brahmin, and he was had a good enough reputation so that they chose him to be the person to accompany Lord Chaitanya on his South India tour, which I imagine, I didn't do enough research, but probably went on for a few months. You know, you don't, if you're on foot and you're trying to tour South India, you can't just do it in a couple of days, right? It went on for a few months. So here's this simple, gentle Brahmin, and he's touring with Lord Chaitanya. And so, you know, he got a lot of association, but he had a problem. You know, he had a problem. He got seduced by the Bhattataris, by the gypsy women of the Bhattataris, who were like a group of, well, they're gypsies, but they were like in the guise of men in the renounced order of life. But they basically, in essence, they were kind of like nomad or gypsy kind of people. And they would just allure innocent people into their association. And then basically they were captive. You know, so that was what was happening with Kala Krishnadas. One morning he kind of got allured towards that group, and Lord Chaitanya had to go and personally rescue him. It's actually the words that he uses. He pulled him by the hair and he yanked him out of there. So, you know, one can wonder, how is that possible? Because, you know, I mean, people, when Lord Chaitanya went through the forest of Jarikanda, the animals were, yeah, there is a picture up there. The animals were getting the mercy. They were, you know, the tigers and the deer were kissing each other, and the elephants were chanting Hare Krishna, whatever. I can't remember the exact details, but, you know, even the animals were being awakened to Krishna consciousness. So how is it possible that this Kala Krishnadas had difficulty in the association of Lord Chaitanya? Well, the best person to hear the explanation for that from would be Srila Prabhupada, of course. And I've got it here. So I'll read you a couple texts and short purports from this section the Lord's Return to Jagannath Puri. So now this is Lord Chaitanya. He's speaking with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then asked all the people to leave. Afterwards, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for Kala Krishnadas, who accompanied the Lord during his South India tour. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Bhattacharya, just consider the character of this man who went with me to South India. He left my company to associate with the Bhattataris, but I rescued him from their company and brought him here. Now that I have brought him here, I am asking him to leave. Now he can go wherever he likes. I am no longer responsible for him." Purport. Kala Krishnadas was influenced and allured by nomads or gypsies who enticed him with women. Maya is so strong that Kala Krishnadas left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company to join gypsy women. Even though a person may associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of God, he can be allured by Maya and leave the Lord's company due to his slight independence. Only one who is overwhelmed by Maya can be so unfortunate as to leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Yet, unless one is, here's one very important instruction coming, unless one is very conscientious, the influence of Maya can drag one away, even though he be the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me read that little passage again. Yet, unless one is very conscientious, the influence of Maya can drag one away, even though he be the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to be very conscientious. And what to speak of others? The Bhattataris used to increase their numbers by using men to allure outsiders. And then it just... This is factual evidence showing that it is possible at any time to fall down from the Lord's association. One need only misuse his little independence. Once fallen and separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead's association, one becomes a candidate for suffering in the material world. Although rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kala Krishnadas was given another chance, and as the following verses relate. So that's one important warning there, that we have to be very conscientious, because otherwise, even in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you could fall down. Okay? Now, here's something that brightens it up a bit. It goes on. The story, as the story continues, it gets a little bit more positive. That's positive, but it gets a little bit more hopeful. So it goes on to say, hearing the Lord reject him, Kala Krishnadas began to cry. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not caring for him. He immediately left to take his noon lunch. After this, other devotees, headed by Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Mukunda, and Damodar, began to consider a certain plan, purport. And this is good. Even though a person is rejected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees of the Lord do not reject him. Therefore, the Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. Srila Narottam Das Thakur just sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keva. One cannot be relieved from the material clutches without engaging in the service of pure devotees. The Lord himself may sometimes be very hard, but the devotees are always kind. So that's a good sentence to meditate on. The Lord himself may sometimes be very hard, but the devotees are always kind. Thus, Kala Krishnadas received the mercy of the four devotees mentioned above. And it goes on to describe how the mercy he received was they made an arrangement for him to go to Bengal and give everybody the news that Lord Chaitanya had returned to Jagannath Puri. So in other words, they engaged him in service. So that's the mercy. See, so the Lord may be, Prabhupada says it right here, the Lord may sometimes be very hard, but the devotees are always kind. They're actually more merciful than the Lord himself. So very important instruction there for us, that you need to always seek the mercy of the devotees. We have to always seek the mercy of the devotees. And that mercy is the service. See? So we always have to be seeking to get service from the devotees. We should seek the mercy of devotees who are present physically, and we should also seek the mercy of devotees who are no longer physically present. That's our philosophy, right? Vani and Vapu, and you know, of the two, Prabhupada used to emphasize Vani even more than Vapu. So certainly we can seek the mercy of devotees who are no longer physically present. Okay? Well, just to, as it was mentioned this morning that just yesterday, a very great follower of Srila Prabhupada, a very great disciple of Srila Prabhupada, his name was Rajendranandana Prabhu, passed away, left his body. He had cancer. And when you have cancer, you have it for a while, but he only found out that he had cancer about 2 to 3 weeks ago. I can't remember the exact date, but it was just a couple of weeks ago that he went into the hospital. Rajendranandana, yeah. And he found out, they told him, well, you have cancer, you're in the fourth stage. Hari Bol. And so he was fortunate to leave very quickly. But he was a very wonderful devotee. How many devotees here knew him? To a certain extent, yeah. He was an amazing preacher. He did a lot of preaching in Mayapur. He used to spend 6 months working. He was a grihastha. And so he spent 6 months back here in the States working, and then 6 months he spent in Mayapur. And while he was there, he used to do a lot of preaching, not just at the temple, but on parikrams to thousands of devotees. One thing I remember him, when I went to Mayapur, you'd always see him. He'd always be the person to get the ghee lamp and take it around to all the devotees. And, it was obvious that he was trying to serve the devotees. He was doing that to get the mercy of the devotees. And know, so many of the good qualities were there. I mean, he had an amazing sense of humor. Those of you who knew him can remember his laugh was uproarious. And very humble person, very, you know, he considered himself very low. I mean, he always would show you, at least he always showed me, a lot more respect than what I deserved. So, you know, very wonderful devotee. And by Krishna's mercy, he was able to wrap it up quickly. I mean, as I said, within a very short time, I'm sure he was not experiencing great health in the months leading up to this, but at least he went quickly once he found out. And somebody like that, if he didn't go back to Godhead, he's definitely coming back here to preach Krishna consciousness and just can take up from where he left off. So all glories to Rajendra Nandana. If anybody else wants to add something to that at the end of the class, they're more than welcome to. And final point is, as I was mentioning, that, you know, this pastime is kind of letting us see that what Kala Krishna Das's downfall and our downfall would be not being conscientious. That's the point Prabhupada makes here. If one is not conscientious, he can, by the influence of Maya, can drag one away, even though one is in the personal association of Lord Chaitanya or Prabhupada or whatever, right? So have to be conscientious. And the saving grace is, even the Lord is hard, but the devotees are always kind. The devotees are even more merciful than the Lord himself. So the take-home lesson, you know, is to always seek the mercy of the devotees. As I mentioned, that means devotees who are present. And you might be thinking, oh, you know, the devotees are present. They're not on the level of these devotees like Lord Nityananda, Jagannanda, Mukunda Dat. We don't know. You don't know. You don't know the spiritual position of the different devotees you're associating with. And, you know, even if we're not devotees on the level of these devotees mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a good etiquette. It's just a good way to live. It's a good way to relate to each other. It creates a very wonderful, beautiful devotional atmosphere when devotees have that mood and understanding of trying to get the mercy of the other devotees like that. This is the final point that, as I mentioned, it's devotees present and devotees who aren't present. And that's also very powerful. I have, you know, I'll be honest with you, something I've been doing, I've been doing it on and off for years, and the only reason off sometimes is less intelligence. But back around early 1980s, I had to do a marathon. I was in Sydney, Australia, and I was at that time I was temple vice president in charge of internal affairs, which meant the pot washing schedule and the cleaning schedule and, you know, all the stuff the temple president didn't want to do. But anyway, when it came time for the marathon, they said, okay, you're going out on the marathon. It was a 1-month marathon, and we were selling paraphernalia at the time, paintings. So on the very first day of the marathon, I hadn't been doing Sankirtan, you know, at all regularly for a while. So, I got out there, and I went to, some country town in Australia. So I got out, and I went to a few shops, and the people, nobody was even, like, you know, interested to look at the paintings or look at me or nothing. You know, just see you later. So I went back to the car. I felt immediately discouraged after just trying for about 15, 20 minutes. I just felt like, forget it. It's like hopeless, you know. I got a whole month ahead of me. So I sat down in the car and I was thinking, man, what am I going to do? And back in those days, a marathon was serious stuff. That was serious business. You couldn't just say, oh, yeah, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. It was kind of like, you know, it was military mood, discipline. You have to do the marathon. So I was sitting in the car, kind of mildly freaking out. And I said, what am I going to do? And I just, well, I don't know. You know, and I looked on the dashboard. I said, well, maybe there was a book. So I'll read. Maybe if I, you know, I'll read a little bit. Maybe that'll help me get into some better consciousness. So I picked up the book. It turned out it was an Anchalila Volume 1. And I said, okay. So I picked it up. I opened it up. And the first chapter, I read a couple verses, and then the third and fourth verse were Hai Goshai Kori Charanavandan Jaha Hoite Bignanash Abhishtaparan. And I, Sri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. And I came across this verse in purport where Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami writes, I pray to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, so that all impediments to my writing this literature will be annihilated and my real desire will be fulfilled. And the purport, short purport, Prabhupada says, if one wants to benefit the entire world, he will certainly find persons like hogs and pigs who have put forward many impediments. That is natural. But if a devotee seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, the merciful Goswamis will certainly give the Lord's servitor all protection. It is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Nevertheless, and this next sentence is basically like my meditation. Nevertheless, if we adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated, and the transcendental devotional desire to serve the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So I remember when I read those sentences, that last sentence there, I thought, okay, this is that. That's it. This is the hope. This is the hope. It's my only hope, you know? So I just decided, okay, I'm going to just take shelter of that. And, you know, as far as the certainly find persons who are hogs and pigs who will put forward many impediments, the way I thought, well, I'm the hog and pig in this case. You know, I'm the impediment. It's not the people. It's me. It's my mind. I'm not in Krishna consciousness. And anyway, so I just decided I'm going to take shelter of that instruction. So I just got up, grabbed my roll of paintings and started. I didn't know that song, Sri Sad Goswami Asaga. I hadn't memorized it at that point, but I did know the one line, Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguya Go, Shujiva Gopala Go. So I just started chanting that. And simultaneously praying to the six Goswamis, please give me your mercy. And lo and behold, it worked. I mean, it worked. I started, you know, having people look at the paintings, buy the paintings. So I got through the first day and I decided, okay, this is it. I'm doing this, you know. So I memorized the song. And then for the rest of the month, I was just repeatedly chanting that song, you know, Krishna, Kirtanaga, over and over again. I would chant the Sanskrit. I guess it's Sanskrit. And then I would recite the translation. And then again, over and over again like that. And just keep, you know, and while I was doing Sankirtan, and I just kept doing better and better. You know, I wound up tying for first for the marathon. And then, you know, as Maya goes, you know, you forget. As soon as you're out of the immediate danger, they say there's no atheists in the foxholes, you know, no atheists in the trenches. But there's a lot of atheists when life is comfortable and things are going easy. So, you know, just when I was out of that immediate situation where I needed, desperately had to, you know, take shelter and pray for the mercy, you just become lackadaisical again. But at later dates, like when I went to Miami once or Denver to do the marathon there, you know, whenever I really need to, I know this is where to go for shelter. So it works. At least that's been my experience, that these are devotees. The six Goswamis are devotees. And I've personally experienced praying, taking shelter, and praying for their mercy, and experiencing like reciprocation. Be honest with you, that's just recently, that's what I'm doing. When I go out on Sankirtan, sometimes, like just 2 days ago, when I had a big day, Savas announced that score, as I was walking from the car to the spot, I was thinking to myself, I'm not feeling at all enthusiastic. I'm going to call Savas and tell him, I don't know what, That's what was going on in my mind. I was walking along and I was thinking, you know what? I think I need to ring Savas and tell him I'm just losing my enthusiasm to do this. I don't, you know, that's how I was feeling. But then when I got to the table, I just decided, okay, what the heck? I'll just, you know, let me just try a bit. And so I approached a couple of people and I was still feeling really like, nah, it's not going to happen, you know? And then I had the picture of the six Goswamis. I take it with me on Sankirtan. I usually just have it on the table. And then I just saw the picture sitting on the table. And I said, you know what? I just took it off the table, put it like that. And I went, okay, please give me your mercy. Help. I need help here, you know. And then I just, you know, I just started approaching the people. And then, boom. Now, yes, we went there 2 days ago. And this is the amazing thing. That school's been done a lot. You know, we've been there a bunch of times. We were at UCR, University of California, Riverside. And on that particular day, it was Monday, there was hardly anybody there, right? It was like really quiet on the campus. So there we were. We were in a really quiet campus with hardly, it had been done a lot. And somehow or another, just whoever was coming was taking the books and you know, giving a nice donation. And I was kind of going, what the heck's going on here? But, I mean, I actually kind of, I know what was going on. There's the mercy of the six Goswamis. So it's practical. You know, you hear these things and sometimes you wonder, well, you know, that's okay, that's nice. It's, maybe it's like hyperbole, you know, it's exact. No, my experience is it's for real. You know, I really feel that I've experienced some kind of reciprocation from the doing that, from the, you know, six Goswamis or internal potency of Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say or any question they'd like to ask? Thank you very much for your, yeah. Okay, Archita first, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for a nice class and reminding us to take shelter of the predecessor acharyas, but also to say just a word about Rajendra Prabhu.
Please.
I had, you know, quite a bit of contact with him, and my main memory of him is that he's what we call a nectar hound. Some people are problem hounds. Every time you see them, they have a problem they want to tell you about. So you kind of, you know, cringe when you see them. It's just natural, because nobody wants to hear problem after problem after problem. But he was just the opposite. You would see Raj, and the first thing he would do is give you some nectar that he just heard or read or experienced. Or he was just a real nectar hound. So you never had to, you know, get any reaction of wanting to run away when you saw him. You actually wanted to go forward to hear from him what he had to say. So that was, again, my constant experience with him. Never, you know, down the line, if you squeeze him, he would tell you maybe this was wrong, that was wrong. But his main thing was always disseminating nectar. Rajendra Prabhu ki jai.
Jai. Anybody else, anything they'd like to say about Rajendra Nandana or any other thing? Okay, Amala Bhakti Maharaj.
Thank you very much for a very nice class. There's just one point that I wanted to dwell on, which I noticed that you hadn't, but we made a big point of it. And how can a person like Kala Krishna, who has the personal association of God, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how could he fall down when he's so oceanically covered with nothing but pure love of Godhead? This is coming from Lord Chaitanya, and it's not just rubbing off him, but drowning off him. It's all over him. So how can we avoid that? If that could happen to him, then what to speak of our situation here? So I gave it a lot of thought and tried to find perhaps some experience in my own life that would be similar to it. One of the biggest problems that we all have is that when we are given a high position, a glorious position, an adorable, applaudable position, we tend to become very, very proud. And we don't even know that we're being proud because it's just a part of our subconscious and conscious nature. So as Prabhupada says, we have to be conscientious. When he's saying be conscientious, he means realize how small, how low, how insignificant, how worthless, how lowly you really are, and what you're getting is a blessing from the Supreme Lord. And you should not think you're big, high, and grand, and wonderful as you're thinking in your own mind. Rather, you think that this is a special mercy and that you don't even deserve this. That's why we call it mercy. It's something which undeserved, but which you get anyway because God feels sorry for you in your most deplorable situation. So the main point is that when Prabhupada says, be conscientious, that simply means realize how small you are, how low you are, how insignificant you are, how nothing you are, and stop thinking that you're so great, so big, so wonderful, so amazing, that yes, I'm the personal servant of the Supreme Lord. Just see my opulence. That should not be it, and it's hard to escape that. Why? Because we're always thinking in terms of high and low, big and small. Everything is, he's great, he's not great. He's important, he's not important, so forth like that. But that's not the position for the devotee. The devotee is always, as it says, Lord Chaitanya himself says in the Shikshasika, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree devoid of all sense of false prestige and should be ready to offer all respects to others. No matter how big you are, you offer respects to others because in your own mind, you're not big at all. Haridas Thakur, when he was asked to ask for a blessing from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, please help me to always think of myself as being unworthy of everything I have. Well, how can you go beyond that? What does he mean by unworthy? That Although Lord Chaitanya thought of him as one of his greatest devotees, nonetheless, he wanted to feel unworthy of this, and this was merely being put upon him as a way of being nice to him. He didn't think he was so great and so wonderful, and that's why he said, help me to remember my unworthiness. To remember unworthiness means that you're nothing. Now, most people in the material world, if you tell them you're nothing, they get insulted. But the point of the devotee is that he doesn't get insulted. He feels that's a praise, that's an honor, that's a glory, because you know when you're in the rightful position in relation to God and his great devotees.
Thank you. Great comment. Anybody else? Yeah, okay, good. Suhasprabhu.
Haribo, thank you for your wonderful realization. I think what really I gleaned out of it was that you did make that, you said that verse, Savashacham Hridi Sinavisomatasmigir Gyanamapoanam Cha. And then later on, you were going out on book distribution, and then, you know, you start praying to the Goswamis. And then all of a sudden, it seems like you develop, you know, some knowledge. Somehow, it appears that it just kind of like came apparent.
Yeah, honest.
What you were doing, what you were supposed to do. And I thought that was really a stark example of that particular verse, how Krishna is in your heart. And if you pray to Krishna, he listens to you. So I thought your example was really beautiful in terms of, you know, you have a service to do. You were feeling, you know, unenthusiastic.
Yeah.
You were feeling whatever, so many different things. And all of a sudden, you prayed to Krishna, and there it was. Krishna gave you the intelligence how to do it. And look at what a beautiful day you had. So thank you for that. It really kind of solidified my feeling about how Krishna does listen to his sincere devotees.
That's how I took it. That's how I take it. That really was a genuine example of Krishna responding. Because I was feeling totally incapable. And all I did different was I just... Yeah. That picture and started praying, and then things started happening. So
I remember when we were doing airport book distribution that it would be hard days and where nobody even wanted to look at you. And I remember a lot of times going into the men's bathroom and kicking the wall, kicking the bathroom stalls. And if nobody was in the bathroom, I'd scream. And then eventually after I got that out, then I became a little bit more pacified. And then I started asking Krishna, please forgive me. Just let me do this service for you. And I came out and bingo. it was like so much ecstasy. All of a sudden, everybody saw me and everybody stopped. Previous, no one saw me. No one cared.
Yeah.
So I think there's some real powerful, you know, devotional, you know, rasa you can have with Krishna in your heart by praying to him sincerely.
Thank you, yeah. And I'm sure I have more stories like that, and I'm sure you do, and all Sankirtan devotees. Yeah, such a Norpam.
Thank you. Yeah. I just have one question. Obviously, that, you know, the example that you gave is tremendous. My question is, first I will say, there are many devotees also I have experienced while distributing books. They cried. I seen them crying. And some of them, they get really frustrated, and they're just to the point of like breaking down then in a different way. Like, what am I doing with these books? One person goes like, he said, no, Prabhu, hold it. You know, he's just throwing them in the ground. So anyway, my question is, what advice would you give to those people in which don't get the answer right away? Like, I'm assuming, for example, let's say you don't get the answer of Krishna in 1 week, in 1 month, in 6 months, what will happen? I don't want to guess. I'm just saying, right? So how will the faith of the person actually carry on? So what is the advice that you will give to those people who did hundreds that passed through, not just Sankirtan, but any service, that sometimes, you know, they go through these commotions and emotions and different things?
Well, the very simple, actually, and short. I would tell them, hey, look, I know what you're going through. I know how you feel. I've been there, exactly. Just keep going. This is the advice I would give. Adhere to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis. That means practice Krishna consciousness, chant your rounds, follow the regulative principles. And then he says, and pray for their mercy. So we're already doing the chanting 16 rounds and following the regular principles and engaging in your service. And then in addition to that, pray for their mercy. You could do that by memorizing the song and like I did and, you know, and just chanting it. Or just look at the picture and just, please give me your mercy. You know, a lot of times I keep it that simple because I'm just not capable of anything beyond that. And according to Prabhupada here, it says if you do like that, you just do those two things, then all impediments, that doesn't mean some impediments, it says all impediments will be annihilated. And then even above and beyond that, the transcendental devotional desire to serve the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. In other words, you get the full mercy like that, you know. So that's the advice I would give. Just hang in there. Keep doing it. If it ain't working, just keep doing it. It works. At least that's my experience. So, yeah. Mother Pavani.
I just have a really quick Sankirtan story to tell.
Sure.
This took place in Seattle, at the airport in Seattle, and it was a really, really slow day. And nobody else, we weren't supposed to go out that day. But Pajavali, my Sankirtan leader, asked me to take her sister out, Rudrani. And Rudrani out. So they dropped us off at the airport, and Rudrani could barely stand. And I told her, I said, okay, there was nobody in the airport, in the gate, anywhere. And I said, just stand right here, right in the middle of the floor. And she couldn't even move, walk. So she surrendered. She surrendered, and we were both standing there. I was over here. She was like where Sachi is. And we would kind of talk to each other. And I said, there's just one thing. If anybody gives you $100, I was trying to enliven her, you know. And I said, just turn around after they leave and look at me and go like this. So lo and behold, one person comes walking through the gate. She distributes him a Bhagavatam, and she turned around and looked at me, and she went, and he gave her $100. Okay, so then I approached him, like if I hadn't seen it, anything, and I always carried a few extra books. I had some a couple of Chaitanya Charitamritas with me that day, and I piled him up with books. And then I, you know, we were talking and asked him if he could give a donation. He gave me another 100. And he said that he had, I asked him, he said he had many of the books, that there was a little, a children's, club up in Alaska in a very small village. And whenever he traveled, he would collect our books. And they had almost all of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita in that little village in Alaska. And then a few minutes later, the devotees came in and said, okay, it's time to go. So we went back. I went back with her because the airport was dead and like that. So we were just out there for half an hour. And Krishna worked his magic.
Yeah.
It was just extraordinary. I gave her all the credit because she was so enthusiastic. She had such a strong desire.
Yeah, you experienced a lot of miracles on Sankirtan. Thank you. Guntarod Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.